Hello everyone, hope you're well, happy Friday, hope you've had a good week. So usually for the last few weeks I've been doing some interview based podcasts, but I thought I'd do a topical based podcast today. And so I'm choosing weight loss mistakes. So if you want to stay with me, hey Stacey, hope you're good. If you want to stay with me for the next maybe 5-10 minutes, depends how long I waffle on for. But I'm going to share my opinion. Obviously, it's always, everyone's got their own opinion on fitness, nutrition, etc. But I'm going to share what my sort of top 10 biggest weight loss mistakes are. And that's based on, 12, 15 years of helping people lose weight, get fit, improve their life. So whatever that means to you, then join in. So And feel free to ask questions along the way as well. Cool. So number one, I've got a list here. So here we go. So number one is forgetting the number one rule on nutrition. So anyone who is live, what do you think the number one rule of nutrition is? Again, it can mean different things to different people. But the LPT, one of the first things that we teach our clients is the number one rule of nutrition, which is if it's there, you'll eat it. Okay. Put a thumbs up if you agree with that one. If it's there, you will eat it. It sounds like ridiculously simple and obvious, but we kind of forget how important it is. If your cupboards are full of biscuits and crisps and chocolate, if your freezer is full of microwave meals or oven-based meals, you're going to be way more likely to eat that stuff than if your fridge is full of fruit and vegetables and lean meats and fish and good stuff. Yeah, if your fridge is packed full of beers and wine, listen, I'm not judging because I love a beer and I love a glass of wine, but I'm just stating the obvious, which is, if you want to make a real change, then you have to try and work out how you can set up your environment in your life to make that change or making those changes easier. Okay. So, because people talk about all the time about how much willpower and how they don't feel motivated without actually realizing that most of the time your environment is actually what's contributing to your decisions in the first place. So if you walk into your kitchen and you know there's a biscuit tin in front of you, you've got, like I said, wine or beers out in front of you, compared to if you walk into your kitchen and you've got your Nutribullet set up for some healthy smoothies, you've got a fruit bowl in the corner, you know, you've got maybe a bowl of nuts just hanging around. So if you were to feel a bit peckish, you know, What are you gonna do? If there's biscuits there and you're starving, you're gonna have a biscuit. Don't lie to yourself or lie to me. I'm the same, right? But if you can set up your workplace, your home, your kitchen, the rooms that you spend the most amount of time, if you can set them up so they're conducive to your goals, it just makes it easier to stick to. And I think lots of people go on diets and they don't do this one thing first. They don't get rid of all of the temptations that are going to get in their way first. That's why they struggle to keep, on it. So difficult. So that's number one is don't forget that number one rule of nutrition is if it's there, you will consume it. Now that kind of ties in with my rule number two, or weight loss, mistake number two, or lesson number two, is you probably consume way more than you think. Okay. Again, that's another thing that we get a lot of our new coaching clients to do is actually to look at, like, how many calories am I consuming? You know, ultimately it's going to dictate whether you lose weight or gain weight. It's a very simple mathematical equation. Just energy, basic thermodynamics, energy balance. So, it can be good news. Like if you work out that actually you're only I don't know, let's say 300-400 calories a day, you're consuming more than maybe where you should do. And let's say that in the morning you're having biscuits, you're having, I don't know, a beer or two or a glass of wine at night. Bam, you've solved your diet problem. Like two glasses of wine, you're talking like 250 calories. Obviously, it depends on how big the glass is. Couple of biscuits, you're talking another couple of hundred calories. Okay, so that's like 450 calories right there. Just so you've sorted your diet out. You don't have to go on a diet. I think I actually didn't include that in any of my 10, but I would say the mindset of I'm going on a diet is probably one of the biggest mistakes as well. You know, there was an NHS study done about 7 or 8 years ago that actually showed the average person is on a diet for 25 years because they perceive themselves to be on a diet. 25 years, crazy, right? So number two is you're probably consuming more than you think. It's worth just getting onto like one of these calorie counting apps. We've got our own, but you can use MyFitnessPal or something like that, and that will help you just see where your calories is at. It's really important to know. I'm not a massive advocate of living your life counting calories. I personally don't. I use calorie counting when I know that I'm kidding myself, you know, when I know that I think I've been good, but deep down, I know that I probably haven't been as good as I probably should have been. And so that's where I'll just track for a couple of days and I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I see what's going on here, you know. So that's number two, is you're probably consuming more than you think. Number three is a big one. I did a whole hour masterclass on this recently. It's not really understanding what a calorie deficit is. There's this massive misconception that I've sort of noticed over the years. So obviously, going back to what I just said, you know, to achieve weight loss, you need to achieve a balance that is working for you. Okay, and this is what's known as a calorie deficit. Okay, which means that your body's ultimately burning more calories than you're consuming. Now, most people, because of a lot of diet companies, but most people have this idea that that's only achieved by eating less or burning more calories, generally through cardio. Okay, so those are two strategies, but they're not the only two strategies. And that is such an important point, because so many people spend their life just on this kind of like hamster wheel of just trying to eat less all the time and just try and burn more calories through cardio. And it's just not fun, guys. It's not fun. So, I mean, if you look at some of the leanest, ripped people in the world, they are doing the opposite to those two things, right? You look at some of the leanest kind of cover models or bodybuilders, they're consuming probably double to three times the average person. And they're doing way less cardio than the average person, you know? So how does that work? Well, number one, they're taking advantage of muscle mass. So they're allowing themselves to increase their metabolism by increasing their muscle mass. So they're not just focusing on using cardiovascular exercise to burn calories, but they're actually burning calories by strength training, or I don't like the word bodybuilding, but lifting some weights, essentially causing some muscle damage, which is then going to cause your muscle tears in your muscles to grow, get stronger, and then your body's going to have to burn more calories in the long run to sustain that body. That's a really good long-term strategy. And then we have NEAT. NEAT is non-exercise, what is it called? I've got it here somewhere. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Can never say that word. So basically, it just means everything that doesn't include exercise and sleep. There's a massive chunk of calories that's burned. I think it's around about the 30% mark for most people. That's just kind of like, I'm sitting here, I'm on a swinging chair, right? So I'm just like moving here. I'm burning like, what, 2 calories a minute while I'm doing that? Okay. But you know, whether you're gardening, whether you're running after the kids, you know, whether you're walking upside down, whether you're walking up and downstairs, it's been a long day. You know, you burn way more calories than you think, but you also don't burn that many calories when you're sitting down all day. So if you have an office job, if you, or even if you don't have an office job, if you've been sitting down in lockdown, binging on Netflix and eating crisps, then that's not going to be conducive for your weight loss attempts, right? So it's a real important one to consider. So a few strategies on that. How can I be a little bit more active? Okay, so I've got like 2 or 3 stand-up convertible desks. I rarely sit down to work where I can. I try and kind of keep myself busy and moving all day. I try and get my 10,000 steps in each day. Obviously do my normal workout as well. So it's just looking at different ways, you know, playing with your kids, things that you're going to enjoy as well. So those are two big things, is don't neglect your metabolism and don't neglect the calories that you burn when you're not exercising. Okay. All right. Where we're at. Number four, sleep, not sleeping enough. So studies show that people who sleep less than 5 hours a night are more likely to be overweight. It's just fact. There's quite a number of reasons for this. What have I got here? This is because lack of sleep can put your body into a carbohydrate and fat craving. It's kind of like a survival mode. I mean, typically you probably experienced it. Put your thumbs up or hands up if you have experienced it. When you've had a really shit night's sleep, you wake up in the morning, you're tired, you're fatigued. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to want some energy. And what's going to give you energy? It's going to be some form of high sugary, carby food, or it's going to be some sort of caffeinated beverage, coffee, whatever. Okay. Which is fine. But particularly if it's like a high carb start to the day, you know, where it's cereals or fruit or toast, you know, it's going to satisfy that your hunger, and it's definitely going to give you. So one of the things that people don't realize when they lack sleep is that essentially they're losing glucose in the brain, lack of glucose in the brain. And so it's very natural to want something that's high sugar and high carb first thing in the morning. So people have like a bit of toast or a Pop-Tart or some other shit, okay? And then that's great because it serves the purpose of kind of like boosting your energy up. And then it gets to like 10, 11 o'clock and then you hit the crash, okay? And then your blood sugars are doing this throughout the day, okay? And so what you're doing if you're starting the day is you're chasing that high. And it's diminishing returns as well, because as the day goes on, you need more sugar and more caffeine to get through the bloody day, right? So a lot of people will blame the nutrition, which is an easy target, but actually you have to ask a better question, a better coaching question, which is, why am I choosing? Why am I craving this food in the first place? And for a lot of people, it is because they're just not getting enough sleep or not getting a deep enough sleep. So then you have to dig a bit deeper and find out why that is. You know, they're consuming alcohol before bed, which we know disrupts sleep. All right. So if that's disrupting your sleep, then the problem isn't the sleep. The problem is the alcohol before the bed, or it's not the fact that you've had alcohol before bed, but you've had 3 glasses, okay, rather than 1. Once you go over the 2 mark, you're going to be disrupting your sleep. 1, 2, you can just about get away, okay? So that's number 4 is sleep. Don't forget your sleep, guys. What else we got? Number five is disregarding your fitness. So if you put all of your effort into just like the nutrition front, so a lot of people just go on a diet if they want to lose weight. But like I said, don't forget the calorie deficit required. Now, if you're going to go on a diet, you have to ask, why am I going on a diet? Well, it's probably because you want to try and achieve this calorie deficit, but you're probably not thinking in those terms. Okay, now to achieve a calorie deficit, we need to be burning more calories through things like exercise. Okay, now guess what? If you're fitter, you can exercise for longer at a higher level or a higher intensity. Okay, so if your fitness is really poor and I get you to go on the rowing machine or go and get you to go for a walk, you're not going to be able to go very far, which means you don't get to burn many calories. As you get fitter, okay, if you can go for half an hour, then suddenly you can burn more calories. But because your conditioning is better, which is why we do a combination of not just what I call LSD cardio, long, slow distance, but we do kind of like high intensity conditioning training at LPT as well, is because we want to be able to work at a really high intensity. Okay, because you can burn more calories that way. Okay, so you know, if you were to do 10 minutes of burpees, you know, for a person that is not very fit, you know, they're probably only going to burn like 8 calories per minute because they're only able to do maybe 4 or 5 burpees per minute. Okay, someone that has reasonable fitness can probably get 10 to 14 burpees done in 1 minute. Okay, or sort of 10 to 14 calories per minute. So they're going to burn almost double the amount of calories. So it's really important to focus on your fitness, because you need to remember that it's going to actually make it easy in the long run to burn more calories. Not sure if that one make as much sense as it did in my head. Hopefully it did. What else have we got? So that was number 5. Number 6 is focusing on only scale weight. Oh my God. Oh my God, this is a big one. Put your hand up. We've got quite a few people listening. Who only focuses on the scale weight? Stop it. The issue with this is kind of like, if you want to get rich, you just keep buying lottery tickets. It really is. It's a quick fix approach to what should be a long-term solution. We need to be focusing on health. Yes, if you just starve yourself, you're going to lose weight. So using the scale as the only success metric is a really bad, really bad strategy, basically. So you need to be looking at a number of things. Let's look at what we should look at. So if it's aesthetics, you want to be looking at your body fat percentage as well, if you can. Okay. You want to be looking at, for guys, I would look at just your waist measurement is fine. For most guys, that will dictate your health. Hip to waist ratio is really good. I recommend for most females. So guys tend to hold weight around the belly. Females tend to hold it a little bit more around the hips, the bum. Okay. So for females, generally the hips and waist is quite a good measurement, quite a good metric. If you haven't got like a machine that does body fat percentage, then hip and waist is kind of like the next best thing, really. But then you've got like energy levels. How that's really important, because let's say you're losing 2-3 pounds a week and you do that for week on week, right? But you feel like crap, you know, you're just not enjoying the process at all. Well, that will soon come to an end and you'll stop doing that and you'll go back to, you know, not so good habits again. So, you know, monitoring your energy levels, how you feel, you know, you should feel vibrant, you should feel energized if you're losing weight in a healthy way by eating highly nutrient dense foods, moving regularly, drinking, you know, being hydrated, and working on your stress, you know, managing your stress levels and getting good sleep, really, you know, nailing the foundations basically. So that's number 6 is focusing only on scale weight. Big problem. Number 7 is another big one, trying to do it all on your own. Okay. Trying to, you know, change your behaviors and do the whole thing, lose weight, get fit, doing it on your own. I'm sure anyone watching this now or who has tried to do that in the past has found that really difficult. And I know a lot of people that come to us and do our programs have found that. You know, I always say to people, you know, have the conversation. And the conversation usually starts with the closest at home. So it might be your husband, your wife, partner, whatever, you know, and just say, look, I'm not happy with things, like just with myself. I want to feel better. I want to feel healthier. I want to live long. I want to see the grandchildren grow up. I want to be able to run after the kids. Like, you know, be really honest and just say, you know, will you support me? You know, hopefully your partner who loves you will say, yeah, of course I will, you know? So, and that sounds like a really simple thing, but what I've noticed from being a coach for 15 years is a lot of people are too afraid, or they see it as a kind of like a flaw that they've even got to ask someone, like their closest person in their life. It's not, don't see it like that. You know, honestly, it shows courage actually. If you've got the courage to just say to someone, you know, who's really close, like, I need support. Obviously, friends as well. So, you know, if you're going to start something or going to go on a journey, I don't really like that term, but if you're going to really try and start making changes, you know, I know a lot of people coming out of whatever this situation is that we're in, pandemic, you know, they have not looked after themselves as much as they maybe could have done, and they're starting to think about, you know, okay, I need to sort of switch things around now. I need to make my life better. Let's come out of this stronger. So have that conversation, you know, get support. Obviously, you know, coaches, personal trainers like myself, we're here to help people as well. So what else we got? Number eight, so we've got three to go, guys. Number eight is not being honest with your why. So, you know, one of the first questions I always ask people, obviously, is what your goals are. I want to lose weight. You know, why do you want to lose weight? Oh, well, just I'm fat. I need to work off the lard. And that's kind of, you know, I'm so used to people answering that way that I know immediately there's way more to it, you know, but you know, people aren't going to open up straight away, which is absolutely fine. So this is why it's really important to be really honest with yourself first. Like, why do you want it? And you may have heard the five whys. Okay, so you ask why. So it might start with, why do you want to lose weight? And it might be because I want to be more confident in myself. That would be decent. And then you'd ask it again, why do you want to be more confident in yourself? Because I want to be a happier person. I don't want to be hiding behind the clothes that I wear. So you get the idea. So I've got someone at the door. I'm going to finish this off though. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this with me. Okay, so number nine is not drinking enough water. So water is hugely important, because often, when you are hungry, it's usually because you're not hydrated enough. Okay, so trying to get your good kind of like 2 to 3 liters of water. Indra says hi. trying to get your 2 or 3 liters of water in a day is absolutely crucial. It sounds like such an easy thing or such a simple thing, but it is a real game changer for people. Okay, so that's a bit more of a practical solution. And then the last one is, again, probably won't surprise you, but it, from seeing like hundreds of food diaries, it is literally too much carbs, not enough protein. Okay, so if everyone in the country could just switch those two macros around a little bit, so eat about 20, maybe 30% less carbohydrates, and replace that with 20, 30% more protein. Okay, so the ratio is just switching. What you'll find by natural default is you just will eat less. Okay, when we're eating a higher carb diet, like I told you earlier, you're gonna eat more overall as the day goes on. When you eat a high protein diet, because of the mechanisms the body has to go through to break protein down, it's a lot harder. You actually feel more satiated. So you actually feel fuller for longer. Okay, so cool. So those are your 10, guys. So we've got the number one nutrition rule If it's there, you'll eat it. Okay. You've got, you're consuming more than you think. Number three is you're not fully understanding how to achieve a calorie deficit. So we talked about number one, improving your metabolism, you know, lifting some weights, building a little bit of lean muscle tissue, and then improving your NEAT. So the amount of calories that you burn when you're just going through your day, right? Then we had sleep. So optimizing your sleep so that when you wake up in the morning, you're not craving high carby, sugary foods or stimulants straight away. And number five is disregarding fitness. Not that everyone disregards fitness, but I think a lot of people don't realize how it fits in to calories and nutrition and weight loss. Because like I said, if the fitter you are, the more calories you can burn with ease. It's just easier to burn more calories when you can go longer at a higher intensity. Okay. Number six was focusing on scale weight only. So we want to focus on lots of different metrics. Number seven, trying to do it on your own. Number eight, not being honest with your why. Number nine, not drinking enough water. And number 10, eating too much carbs, not enough protein. Hope that was useful for you guys. Let me know in the comments which ones of those that you're going to start implementing into your life ASAP. And I look forward to seeing those comments. Take care, guys. I thought that might happen.
It's okay, don't worry.
Sorry. How you doing?
The weekend.
So. Yay! You had a good week.